Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is quarter number one, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. This is where you can drive your car to Happy Valley for a game, and an RV is all set up and waiting for you. No hassling with parking as a shuttle. Stock with your favorite Labatt beer. We'll take you to and from the game. Tailgate all weekend. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 800-519-8467. It is quarter number one. I am Jim Galante, joined by Andrew P. Shea. Ross is off today, so that means it's me and you, Andy. Are you ready to shoulder the load?
Got a full hour of us. Let's go. I'm ready.
All right.
Maybe.
I've got all the confidence in the world in you, Andy. Let's start with this. Let's start with what we're not going to talk about, which is Danny Dennis Sutton. I'm sure most of you listening to our show, you already know his decision. We do not. We're recording on Thursday, so it's this evening that he's going to make a decision. Fingers crossed on this one, Andy. Penn State seems to have a good shot at him, though.
Well, they're in the mix, and I think if geography matters, and something tells me it does on this one, they have a better shot than you might think based on his, you know, final list of schools, which is, you know, you would put Penn State and say they're a little bit of a disadvantage against those programs, but I really think they do have an advantage. And don't forget, I think one of the greatest opportunities of his list of schools that he's considering, it's not very often you could say this about Penn State, there is a great opportunity for him to play sooner than later at his position. I'm just going to say that.
Well, let's leave it go because our listeners know the answer. We don't.
They do.
So let's move on. Big Ten Media Days are upon us, Andrew. And Penn State, like all the other schools, are represented by three players, Jahan Dotson, P.J. Mustafa, and Tariq Castro Fields. And the name that seems
worthy
missing there is Sean Clifford.
Yeah, well, you know, kudos to James Franklin. I wouldn't take Sean Clifford to Big Ten Media Days either. I mean, after the season he had, do you want him to go and sit at a table and or at a podium and a microphone and have to talk about, you know, how he took a step backwards as a quarterback in 2020 and how he has to take a step forward in 2021 if Penn State's going to be a player in the Big Ten East again. I mean, that's a couple days of nonsense that he just doesn't need. I just don't think he needs it. I 100% agree. You took three very good players, three veteran players. They put plenty of meat on the Penn State Media Day, you know, Big Ten Media Day bone. So don't take your quarterback. No. I 300% agree with the decision. There's no reason to take him at all.
Okay, let's have a pretend world here, though, Andrew. And in my pretend world, Sean Clifford is there. And one of the journalists who is there questioning him is Andrew P. Shea. Andrew, you've got Sean Clifford in front of you. What question would you ask him?
You're asking me, Sean, what I would ask Sean Clifford?
Yes, I am.
The first question I'd ask him is, fundamentally looking back at 2020, what was the biggest step backwards you took that you need to correct? Fundamentally, as a quarterback, that would be my very first question. Looking back and going through your process, what was the thing you saw that was the biggest difference between 2019 and 20 that you need to correct? That would be the very first question I ask him.
And the second question would be, did you fix it this year? So,
yeah, I'm not going to ask him if he fixed it. I want to know what I want to be able to tell fans what in his words, what he took as the most critical thing he has to work on going forward. That tells them everything that they need to know. That's just my opinion. You know, you have to self-recognize it as a quarterback and understand it and be able to say out loud that it's a weakness in order to move forward with it. If you don't believe it, then you're not going to be working on it to fix it. So that's just my opinion.
All right, I'm going to continue my hypothetical world just one more step here, Andrew. Of course, James Franklin is going to meet with the media. It's always interesting, but I want to know, what question would you ask James Franklin if you were there?
So I have three of them, but I'll give you the first one, and we can do more if you want, because I have three of them. I'm just giving you a hint.
Okay, go ahead.
But the first question I'd ask him is, I would say, Coach, give me a single word you would use to describe the depth at the quarterback position, and what are you looking for out of fall camp at the quarterback position beyond Sean Clifford? How's that, Jim?
Okay. I'll be the hypothetical James Franklin. Andrew, I'm scared to death that Sean Clifford doesn't perform or he gets hurt. And I don't know what we would do after that. That would be James Franklin with some truth serum. Actual answer is, we've seen a lot of good things from Roberson and Vayu. We think there's a lot of potential there. And with a little more experience, we think they could handle the job. All right, Andy, let's move on. A couple more news items going on. One of them that I found intriguing was, there's about 10,000 different awards in college football. One of them is the Doak Walker Award. Not only are there 10,000 awards, but each award has 10,000 nominees approximately. Actually, for the Doak Walker Award, it's more like 80-some. But Penn State actually has three running backs nominated for this award. And I don't think it says anything about each of the players individually, but it does seem to say something about the depth Penn State has at that position. I believe they're the only team with three nominees.
Correct. It says depth about the position, and it's earned, right? It's just not something that, you know, is given. Penn State has produced elite running backs for 6-7 years now, right? Let's just call it what it is. They've shown the ability to manage multiple running backs playing at a high level inside of one game. They've just simply proved they've been able to do that. What this says about them nominating three is based on, you know, a myriad of circumstances. They have no idea who is going to emerge as sort of an RB1 at Penn State. And the Doak Walker watch list committee is 100% right. Who knows? Because Penn State has a depth sort of riches to choose from. One of them, and we've talked about this, Jimmy, one of them's going to emerge, right? One of them will emerge. It is just going to happen naturally. But heading into this, it could be one of three guys. It could be one of four guys. Could be one of five guys. But they got the right three: Noah Kane, Kevon Lee, and John Lovett, the transfer from Baylor. They have the right three. All three are going to figure into, you know, the rotation prominently in the beginning, healthy and whole, a.k.a. Noah Kane. And who knows what the heck's going to happen. So it's a 100% right call.
It definitely is, and I think you're right. Any one of those three could end up being the number one guy, and there are two other backs who at least could play a part in the rotation, even if they're not the number one guy. It will be fascinating to see, and I don't think there's a problem having too much talent at a specific position.
No, it's going to be fun to watch. I mean, Penn State fans should enjoy this because they've got a wealth of riches, and it's going to be fun to watch it unfold again.
There was another news item this week. I wanted to get your take on it, Andy, and it's more a national news item, and that was the fact that apparently Oklahoma and Texas from the Big 12 have been talking to the Southeast Conference about joining that conference. Any thoughts on that?
So, I'm not surprised at this for a couple reasons. One, schools are always talking about schools always want to be in the SEC today, right? They want to kind of be in the SEC for many reasons, right? The SEC is the, you know, sort of right or wrong, it's viewed as the power conference inside the Power Five. But I also think that if college football goes to an expanded playoff system, which it seems like in the future, in the not too distant future, I might add, that it that is a real possibility that happens. I think college football, to in some respects, is going to realign anyway at the Power Five level. It might even reduce the number of conferences. We might lose a conference. I'm not saying I think that's going to happen. That's just a possibility. But I do think if we go to an expanded college football playoff system, if the NCAA does that, I do believe that conference realignment will be part of that. I have a very strong feeling that conference realignment is going to happen if the college football playoffs expand.
Well, the one point that I think you left out in the incentive for making this kind of move, Andrew, it's cash. It's money. And the Southeast Conference is a money machine.
It's a money machine, and it also provides it. It gives its schools more institutional control over its schedule than anybody else, any other of the Power Five conferences in the country. They just simply, somehow they are the one conference that's able to give their schools more rope to play more what I call knockover or tomato can games, whereas that number has been reduced for everybody else around the country, and they get away with it. They're still judged as powerful schools despite, you know, their schedule. So they are able to even make more money simply from that. I mean, it's just, they have the, they still are under the old model of their schools having the power to manage and maneuver their schedules. Whereas ACC, Big 10, Big 12, Pac-12, they're all, it's all become a smaller, it's all become less institutional control at the school level and more by the conference making them play crossover games. SEC doesn't do it, and they're still viewed as the power of the big dogs.
And it's hard to argue that they aren't the most powerful conference with the best teams. But what you're talking about is in the Big Ten, you play 9 conference games. In the Southeast Conference, you only play 8. What does that mean? In the long run, Big Ten schools, 13 out of 14 Big Ten teams play at least 10 Power Five opponents. How many Southeast Conference teams do that? Exactly 1, which is a crazy, crazy fact. All right, Andrew, that is it for quarter number 1. Stick around. We got more Andrew P. Shea in quarter number 2. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to gopsurv.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.